Greater Washington Government Contractor Awards honor many of the individuals and businesses among the region's government contractors. The awards are co-sponsored by the Fairfax County Chamber of Commerce and the Professional Services Council. Tom Romeo is the president of Maximus Federal Services and a finalist for the Executive of the Year Award in the greater than $300 million in sales category. He tells me more about his company and the nomination.
We serve as an operations partner in aid of the state exchanges, and at the federal level, we serve as the eligibility appeals contractor. So as healthcare.gov or healthcare reform started up, there were a lot of unexpected issues that came to the forefront. Certainly the technology was a challenge, but a lot of the policy and the rules were just never tested before. So it was a very dynamic environment and one that really required us to partner with the states or the federal agency to ensure that they could deliver the services that they had promised to the citizens. And so it was a very interesting time.
But part of the problem, I think, with the development of all of these exchanges was that the requirements weren't all that well defined, which is a common problem in federal and, I guess, state and local contracting. And so how do you keep up with that fact when there's also so much political controversy, which is not really at the program level or at the contractor level, but nevertheless it creates a lot of publicity? How do you navigate through a situation like that?
Well, we're usually, Maximus is a business process management company for the most part, although we do some IT work. In this case, we were operating the exchanges and operating the appeals work. So we weren't developing the systems, but it's still, your point is still right on, which is the requirements did change. The policy was implemented and the program rolled out, and it really just puts a lot of pressure on the partnership between the agency and the contractor to be flexible enough to adjust to the changes that are coming at them. And in the meantime, there's a contract in place. And if the contract isn't flexible enough to allow those adjustments, that adds another layer of complexity.
And so what would you give as advice to companies that are entering into a situation like this? I'm suggesting maybe make sure the requirements of the government are clear on the government side. That's a tough thing to do, though.
It is, especially when the program has never been implemented before. So I think there are just unforeseen requirements that because it's a brand new program, no one ever thought about. So my suggestion would be that first to the contractor side, the government side, that you allow the flexibility in your contract to realize that there are going to be changes and you're going to have to adjust and adapt to those changes. And I would suggest on the vendor side that you go into it with your eyes open, that the requirements are not all documented in the RFP that you received, and be prepared to be a partner to the government, and don't let it throw your game off when you're looking at trying to meet the mission that the agency's mandated with.
Now, in the business processes service, business process improvement service that you do serve, I imagine it must be difficult often for agencies to know the requirements, because business process is often where agencies turn when they want to change things, and maybe they don't know what they really want to do, even though they might know the outcome they want.
I think that's right on, Tom, and I think, you know, there is a way to contract, I think, that helps that. So if you focus on the outcome and you tie your contract to that and allow flexibility to bring best practices to getting those outcomes, then I think that opens up the potential for the government agency and the vendor to work towards the same objectives. And frequently we don't see that in contracting. We often see time and materials or a fixed fee contract. And in those cases, there's an assumption that all of the requirements are clearly understood and documented, and the government just wants to pay you to do the work, versus an outcomes-based contract that might say, we're going to pay you to get the outcomes, and we expect and hope that you will bring innovation to the business process along the way.
We're speaking with Tom Romeo. He is the president of Maximus Federal Services. Looking ahead now, we're into 2016. There's still no budget, and the climate is uncertain for what kind of budget we're going to get or when it's going to happen at this point. And so in this area of business process and process reengineering, how willing do you find agencies right now to go ahead with these kinds of projects when there's a lot of bread and butter things they might not be able to buy because of the budget situation?
It's a great question, Tom. I think the budget uncertainty creates a lot of churn in the agency's overall ability to get done what they need to get done, and it creates a lot of challenges for the vendor as well. You know, normally we would see a funding period of at least a year with options, so really you're usually set for a 4 or 5 year period, and you don't have to worry about the funding being in place constantly. When continuing resolutions are in place or short-term funding initiatives come through, it really causes a renegotiation or recontracting to get the money flowing to get the work done. And it puts a lot of pressure on the vendor community to ensure that they bring the best resources and keep the continuity there while the funding kind of tends to go up and down.
All right, so let's presume then that all that goes away and we're back to some kind of a normal market. What do you see as the trends in what agencies want in terms of business process and whatever reengineering of that process they might want to do? What do they need to change the most, do you think, in their point of view?
Well, you know, our work is in the federal civilian space. In our federal contracting, and we do everything from IT support of infrastructure and systems to business process for them. And I think the biggest trend that I'm seeing is that years ago in the federal civilian space, most of the contracting was on a fixed price basis. And the pendulum swung in the last few years to really buying the low cost solution, whether it was a low price technically acceptable or just the lowest bidder on a fixed fee contract or a cost plus contract. And I think I see this pendulum swinging back a little bit more towards some of the fixed price or fixed price per unit or outcomes based contracts. And I think, as we just mentioned a couple of minutes ago, that gives a lot of flexibility for both the vendor and the agency to focus on the real purpose of the contract. In the other case, I think sometimes it's really about the function that they need performed. When you tie the payments to outcome, it's about the purpose that the agency is trying to achieve.
And I guess given all of the many mandates that have come from the Office of Management and Budget with respect to services contractors over the past few years, it's tough being a services contractor these days, isn't it?
It is. There's certainly a lot of oversight on contractors. And, you know, while I think that the vendor community far and away is really dedicated to the mission of the government and really comes in with the best attitude and the best intention, I think the thing that we could do to help a little bit more is just going back to that comment about purpose versus function, is realize some of the challenges that the agencies themselves face and try to remember the purpose of what you're doing. So whether you're helping to support a desktop or write an application for someone at the VA to help serve the veterans, it's really about getting the veterans the help they need. And I think if we keep those purposes in mind, it all comes out well at the end.